9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Mav Day, brought to you by Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer House, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, right across from the CMU campus, featuring only Colorado's best coffee and beer. They're open Monday through Thursday, 7:30 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 7:30 to 9, Sunday, 8 until noon. And don't forget, tonight is Beer Bingo at 6:30, and they have trivia every Friday night at 6:30. They had their 80s trivia recently, and unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to go to it, but a lot of fun. And James and Amanda, they always greet you with a smile, and you know that they know their products. And James is always going to make the best recommendation for a coffee or a beer or cider that you're going to end up loving. They have the beer flights, 8 taps of new on taps weekly. And don't forget, when you go to get a coffee there, 16-ounce coffees and 16-ounce beers, there's no charge for coffee add-ons. And you can always bring in food from the outside as well. Perfect place before, after you watch the Mavs play, or if you're just looking to meet friends or get some work in. You got the Wi-Fi there, so you can have some peace, quiet, and enjoy a great coffee or beer from Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer House. Once again, 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood, across from Colorado Mesa University. All right, so a busy show today. CMU softball, an incredible finish to the regular season for the Maverick softball team. And they're hosting the RMAC tournament coming up this weekend. 33-game winning streak for the CMU softball team as the Mavericks wrap up the regular season with a record-setting championship run after taking down CSU Pueblo this past weekend. So we'll talk with Mercedes Boti coming up in just a little bit. We'll also talk some Maverick baseball as well. But time right now to talk Maverick softball with the head coach of CMU, Mercedes Boti. And Mercedes, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yep, thanks for having me.
First off, congratulations on the championship. What an incredible run for your softball team. 33-game winning streak. You're going to host the RMAC tournament. You win the RMAC regular season championship. Of course, you get it done with the victories over CSU Pueblo. Kind of take us through what this season's been like for you, watching the record number of home runs being hit by your program, but also just that run to the RMAC regular season title.
I mean, it's been a great season. We've achieved a lot of our goals. Started out kind of on the losing end of things, and we played a tough Colorado Christian, I think the second week of conference, lost 3 of 4, and those were definitely winnable games if we had it all together a little bit more, which it seems like now we do. But I think that really just motivated everybody to work harder, make sure we're working hard all together, and just keep winning.
Maya Arrieta, former Central standout, she ends up breaking the RMAC single-season home run record. Crystal Krebs of UCCS held that previously, along with Tara Mickelson of Metro State. Maya hitting her 26th home run of the season. Take us through what you've seen from Maya and what an incredible season she's had, because when you think of home run hitters, she's got some pop, but not to have the kind of season she's had.
It's been incredible. There's really only been a couple players that I've come through this program that have had a season just like hers, but no one's had the power. And 26 home runs, it's great. She is kind of halfway through season. All of a sudden, she started hitting a bunch of home runs, and people still pitch to her for the most part, which I'm still a little surprised with, but it's working out in our favor. But, man, she's worked hard. She's worked hard all fall, all spring so far. She gets extra work in. She's locked in, and good things are happening. And sometimes it doesn't work out, but then we got a whole bunch of good hitters behind her that can hit doubles or home runs, and it's great.
One of those really good hitters, we're going to talk to her coming up a little bit, is Ileana Mendoza. She drove in 5 of your 17 runs on the day in that doubleheader. She's had just an incredible season, hitting .461 right now.
Yeah, she's improved a ton since last year, where she just finds ways on base. It's kind of funny because she'll bat 5th or 6th in the lineup after a lot of our power hitters. It's a great opportunity to get some RBIs in there. She'll get on by walks a lot, too. And I think just as a left-handed hitter, you see all these righties in front, and somehow it's just a little funky. But it works out well. And, again, another person who's worked hard, who's gotten in really great shape this year. She's a great center fielder and leader out on the field. And it's the high averages. It really helps us out.
She was one of your seniors that you honored this past weekend, Ava Fugit. Miranda Pruitt and Hannah Sattler were also honored as well. And so those four players, those four seniors, kind of take us through what they've meant to this program.
They've all grown a ton through this program. Miranda Pruitt and Ilya Mendoza, it's their sixth year of college. So kind of, you know, some 24-year-olds on the roster are great, just maturity-wise. They've grown since they've been here, gotten stronger, gotten better. Hannah Sattler pitched a whole bunch last year. We've added more pitchers to our staff this year, and she really elevated her game and developed some new pitches and has kind of a different look this year and still had a lot of success. She has some support from other pitchers on the staff to, we don't have to see her all the time like kind of our opponents did last year. Ava Fugate, she's solid at first base. She hits a ton of doubles. She bats right behind Maya. Maya scored a lot of runs this year because Ava's right behind her, finding ways to get on or put her over. But every once in a while, you know, hit a home run once they watch Maya in front of her.
CMU softball coach Mercedes Bodie with us today on the Team Sports Network. Mavericks will host the RMAC tournament this weekend over at the Bergman Sports Complex. Obviously, your team is the hottest team right in the RMAC. Mercedes, 33-game winning streak. You haven't lost at home this year, 20-0. But as you know, you can host the RMAC tournament. Strange things, bad things can happen. But you're hoping that maybe some of those demons of the past won't be there this weekend when you play in the RMAC tournament.
RMAC tournament's weird, and I've been on the winning side of it and the losing side of it, so it's hopefully I can prepare the team to be mentally prepared for it. It is a double elimination tournament, so if you do falter one game, you still have opportunity to work your way through the loser's bracket. It's just a longer path. We've told our team, hey, it's just three wins. You got to do three wins. We've seated ourselves well. It's one win each day, and you get the automatic bid to regionals, and we hope that what we've done this year so far really protects us for that regional bid if for some reason we don't win the RMAC tournament. But we're on a roll. I feel good with everything. I think the team's ready, and I think we are the best team in the conference.
You know, right now the Mavericks rank sixth in the South Central region. Eight teams make that field, and so that's kind of what you're alluding to, is you hope that the record you put together, the 33-game winning streak, what you've been able to accomplish, the dominance in RMAC play you've had this season. Hopefully, and number one, you want to win this whole thing. That's the thing.
Yeah,
is job number one, goal number one for the softball team. But you do feel, like you said, you do have a little bit of wiggle room to work with in case things just don't go the way you want them to.
Right. And again, our goal is to win the conference tournament, host it. Last year we were seeded fourth, and man, we had to play a whole lot of games. Actually played every team in the conference tournament last year, with how things worked out through the loser's bracket. Sent a bunch of people home. Our goal is to a little easier on ourselves this year. But yeah, we got to win. There's Colorado Christian. We owe them a loss. So we plan to do that at some point in this conference tournament. And yeah, the goal is to get to regionals, win regionals, but you know, it's step by step. So we got to win the conference tournament, win game one, and life gets a little easier from there.
So the Mavericks and Colorado Christian each have first round byes, and the sixth team, as Mercedes mentioned, double elimination tournament that runs through Saturday. Audio champion gets the automatic berth to the South Central region postseason. And so you have Colorado School of Mines and Regis that open up the tournament, and then the winner of that game will take on the Mavericks in game three. Metro State faces CSU Pueblo, and that's who Colorado Christian will get in the final game on Thursday. So, like I said, you've played both these teams in Colorado School of Mines and Regis. You've had success against them. So I guess give us the quick scouting report on either one of these teams if you face them in that opener.
They're a little bit scrappier teams. Really, no one has the power like we have, but they'll find ways to just put them all in play. They'll bunt a lot. They'll try to run and steal and try to have us make mistakes. But we've seen them. We're prepared for it. And again, we play really well at home. So it's really nice to be here. Everybody gets to sleep in their own bed and kind of be more mentally prepared versus being out in the road. We've played a lot in the road this year, and we did pretty well. But again, home, we haven't lost yet. So it's a good feeling playing here.
Mercedes Bodie, CMU softball coach with us. RMAC tournament, of course, starts on Thursday. And you had a chance to play some players that don't normally get a lot of playing time in that series against CSU Pueblo. And I know that was it Macy Magdaleno was she was one of those players. I hopefully did not butcher her last name. But she
you
was,
got it right.
Okay, good. Blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. But she was your DH in the second game. Talk about what that means so you get a chance to play somebody like a Macy that doesn't get a lot of opportunity because of the talent this team has, but went out and got a couple of base hits, got an RBI, and was able to raise her batting average a little bit. Those are great stories when you get a chance to play a player that goes out, does their job in terms of practice and trying to help her teammates be better, is on the bench, always ready to go when she gets that chance to go out and get a little bit of an opportunity. It's always a great thing.
Well, we talk with the team a lot with the younger players on you just got to keep growing. Sometimes you're going to end up watching, you know, a really good person in your position, but you got to keep learning from them. Opportunities come up. Don't feel a ton of pressure. Just go out there and swing and, you know, pinch hitting or DH. Those are tough jobs. And definitely all results oriented, but Macy's been swinging well. She's grown a lot. From the fall. She is a freshman. She's a 6-foot-tall lefty hitter, which is great. We see bright things for her future. She's had some rough at-bats and pinch hits, and, man, she came in ready to go. So it was really nice to see her kind of come in, and first swing, boom, it was a shot to the outfield. Gets another hit, and then she went 2-for-3 that game. The other one was a far one to left field, opposite field. They made a pretty good catch on it. But, man, it just eases her a little bit, any kind of stress she had. But, you know, she does belong here. The team was really rooting for her, so it was nice to see. It's always great when, you know, you have different people pinch hit or DH and they see some success, because then it's like, yeah, the coach did the right thing. It doesn't always work that way, but again, it was really nice. It's good for team morale. It's good for those players that don't get a lot of opportunities for them to see some success, to know that, you know, they do belong here on this really great team.
So I haven't seen, I don't think game times have not been set. Is that correct, Mercedes?
First game should start at 10 o'clock. We have our RMAC call today to like finalize everything. But it looks like we'll be playing at 3 p.m. on Thursday, assuming everything stays on track time-wise.
All right, very good. And hopefully keep our fingers crossed for a good weekend of weather as well for the RMAC softball tournament. Hey, Mercedes, congratulations on the RMAC regular season title. And, of course, best of luck this weekend in the RMAC tournament here in Grand Junction. Get out and cheer on the Mavs over at the Bergman Softball Complex. Get over there this weekend as the Mavericks will play on Thursday at 3 o'clock over at Bergman. Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Mercedes.
Thank you.
All right. Mercedes Bodie, coach of the Maverick softball team. And Ileana Mendoza is going to join us coming up a little bit. One of those four seniors that played her final regular season games last weekend, but still plenty of softball to play with the RMAC tournament and hopefully a trip to the South Central Region tournament as well. All right, 9:13, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. And we get a winner for Stadium Cinema today.
Yes, we did.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
He's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Brian correctly identifying Bench Warmers as the movie today for Stadium Cinema. He gets the downtown double play with triple play.
Outside of Napoleon Dynamite, but his biggest movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Gosh, the guy that played
Brian, not Hader. John Heater?
Heater. John Heater, yes.
Yeah. Close enough.
Bill Romanowski.
Yeah, he was in that movie.
Didn't they in the movie make fun of him for driving a Miata? Wasn't that like the running joke in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for all those Miata owners out there. That
Only a little. Sorry,
a little. It's a little car.
John Heater, Colorado guy.
That's true.
Born in Fort Collins.
And I still will sit down and watch Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh yeah.
The scene where they're at the egg plant,
mm-hmm.
not the actual vegetable, but the egg facility. They're going through getting the eggs. the old farmer guy, the guy that owns the egg facility, he's got lunch for him. And he sticks his hand in the jar of whatever it's supposed to be, lemonade mm-hmm. or iced tea or whatever he stirs. It's like, this needs to be stirred. He sticks his hand in and stirs it around. He goes, there you go.
Yeah.
Johnny. Reminded me of some things I've seen on the out living in Appleton growing up as a kid.
According to Wikipedia, his mom's sister is married to Vi Sekahema.
Oh.
Former Eagles return.
I remember him,
guy extraordinaire.
Oh. Did not know there was that connection.
I didn't know that either. That's kind of neat.
All right, so we also have this hour. We're going to have Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia later on. But we have Herd Trivia right now, brought to you by Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. And you can win a coffee or beer a week for an entire month from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Try the almond mocha. It's my favorite. I had one yesterday when we were up in Breckenridge, had from a different place.
You cheated.
Well, James doesn't have a location up there. I would have gone there. Mm-hmm. When they get to that point of that kind of expansion, then I would have just had it at Colorado Craft.
Yeah. Did it match up?
It did not. No. Very disappointed. Mm-hmm. By a brand name chain that made mine.
Oh, see, that's...
And I was I was very disappointed.
Spent $11 on it, probably, too.
Yeah. It wasn't quite 11, but it wasn't cheap.
My wife's like, can I borrow your card, get a coffee? I'm like, sure. Like, $8. Like,
$8? $8?
Like, there's free coffee in this conference room over here.
Just go have that.
Then I went and got a fountain drink for four and a half.
Yeah,
so I really couldn't complain.
You need to shut up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but it did not compare to the masterful almond mocha that the James makes at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer. So here's the question today. In which year did CMU start playing softball? Multiple choice. In what year did they start playing softball over at then Mesa College?
Oh, ooh, there's a tip off.
1976, 1981, 1979. In what year did they start playing softball over on the Mesa campus? 1976, 1981, 1979. So first correct answer wins. It's a coffee or beer a week for a month. Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Easy to find right across from the CMU campus, 1144 North 12th and Glenwood. Once again, the question. In what year did CMU start playing softball? 1976, 1981, 1979. All right, Ileana Mendoza, the CMU softball team, she's going to join us. That's coming up next. So text in your answer only, by the way, for Herd Trivia. Text only. And you don't have to be 21 since they serve coffee. They have tea. It's all from Colorado, by the way. It's all Colorado-based. And just love the way they celebrate Colorado craft breweries, coffee makers here in the state. Their craft sodas are from Colorado as well. So first correct answer, once again, for Herd Trivia today, in what year did CMU, or I should say Mesa, start playing softball? 1976, 1981, 1979. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. It's Mav Day, brought to you by Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Get in the locker room with Colorado Mesa Sports. This is Mav Day on the Team.
Welcome back, 920. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We talked with Mercedes Boti, CMU softball coach. RMAC regular season champions. They will host the RMAC tournament starting on Thursday. But joining us right now, she was one of the four seniors that was honored this last weekend when the Mavericks faced CSU Pueblo to wrap up the regular season. Ileana Mendoza, redshirt senior from Tucson, Arizona, joins us. Ileana, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I mentioned that you were one of the four seniors honored this last weekend. I know there's still a lot of softball for you to play and your Maverick teammates to play, but kind of give us a sense of the emotions you had of being honored as one of those seniors playing your final regular season games over at the CMU softball complex.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great time. A little emotional. The team is great. The girls, I love the girls. They love our seniors. We just try to make it. One of our captains, Allie Disler, was like, let's play for our seniors this time. Yes, we have a lot of big things coming up and we can get recognized and all this, but it was it didn't feel over because it's not over yet. We're hosting, but it's great to play here. I love it here.
So what brought you to play for Colorado Mesa? Because you were at Eastern New Mexico previously. You played and started 13 games there during the COVID period that obviously affected the season for Eastern New Mexico like it did for everybody. What led you to decide, you know, Eastern New Mexico, Portales, it's a nice place, but Grand Junction, CMU, that seems like a better fit for me. Kind of take us through how you made that journey from playing at Eastern New Mexico to becoming a Maverick.
Yeah, so COVID, it was a crazy time, but actually it was two of the girls who played here before I did, Lauren Wedman and Ashley Bradford. I remember Lauren's mom, Lisa, calling me and was like, what are you doing? Because I had opted out during that whole crazy time of COVID and stuff. So that's how I got the extra year. But she called me and she was like, what are you doing? Why aren't you playing? What are you doing? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm just looking around. I'm just trying to find something better. And she's like, well, there's a spot for you. They have, coach wants to talk to you and this and that. So it was just perfect timing, and I couldn't be more grateful for them.
You mentioned Lisa Wedman, who was the mother of Lauren Wedman, who Lauren was an All-American at CMU. Did Lauren have a conversation with you as well, Eliana, or was it just Lisa that was on, hey, Grand Junction, the RMAC playing for CMU, that's going to be a great spot for you. Did Lauren offer any kind of thoughts on that as well, or is it just Lisa that was kind of driving the Maverick recruiting bus in this case?
Yeah, it was definitely both, because when I had reached out, when Lisa had called me, she said that Lauren had mentioned my name to Coach, and Coach was like, okay, yeah, like I'll give her a call. And then it was like literally a couple days later, I was on the phone with Coach, and she was like, let's come out for a visit, and it just all happened. It was just like bang, 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 and next thing I know, 3 years later, I'm here at Colorado Mesa playing for one of the best teams in the league, too. So, yeah, lucky. So blessed.
Eliana Mendoza with us today from the CMU softball team, second team all RMAC outfield last year. Also was a national player of the week as well. And then last year, you know, is a redshirt junior. As I referenced, the all RMAC selection to the second team, you played and started in 50 games. You played in center field. You had 315 last year, which is pretty good. That's nice. That's not bad. Until this year, where you're hitting .461. You've got 44 RBIs. What's been the difference, Eliana, from last year at the plate to this year? Because you've had a remarkable season. Certainly, like I said, that batting average has grown tremendously.
I don't know. I think it's just the mindset. I come back, and I didn't think I was going to come back. And so I was like, this is my last year. I got to give it all. I got to hit the weight room harder. I got to lose some weight. I got to gain some muscle. The girls, and just playing for the girls, this is a different team, and I think just the vibe of the girls has helped. I want to, not that I wasn't playing for my team last year, but it's just a different feeling this year, and you just want to play for these girls 10 times more than yourself, and I think that's what helps for sure.
What leads to that kind of feeling? Is it a certain group of players? Is it Coach Bodie this year? What is the difference from an emotional standpoint, Eliana, for you, that you've seen over, like I said, no offense to last year's team, which was an outstanding group of players last year, but what's made that difference this year that's helped this team obviously win an RMAC regular season title and roll off 33 straight victories?
I think it's, again, team chemistry. I think these group of girls, it's kind of hard to find girls where they just have 100% love for the game. And not that we didn't have that last year, but it's just different this year. It's super hard to explain, and even the girls would tell you, like, it's so hard to explain. You just have to be there, but it's the love for the game and the love for each other. Like, you can have a great team and have talent, all the talent in the world, but if you don't have that chemistry, you're not going anywhere. And I think we kind of got a taste of that a little bit last year. I mean, it wasn't the greatest season last year, but this year everybody just loves each other, and everyone just wants to be around each other and just play for each other, and that's the biggest thing. It's super hard to explain, but it's the vibe and the chemistry that really just helps us. Like, yes, we have the talent, but the fact that we have the love over talent, I think it just helps us 10 times more.
Does a lot of that come from, well, obviously the long trips to play? There's plenty of those in the RMAC, but just getting together away from the diamond, is that, Eliana, part of what's helped to build the chemistry of the softball team?
Yes, most definitely, and shout out to Coach, because she forces us to do these team bondings, which you're like, oh, whatever. But then it really just brings us all together. Like, it could be like these dumb little games that we play, but it's off the field. We always meet in the classroom, and in the fall, that's where coach really tries to build the team bonding, and she does a great job, because at the end of the day, the team now, we love each other, and it's because of those team bonding moments off the field, in the classroom, getting to know each other better, and just publicly speaking in front of each other, because a lot of our girls are shy, but the more we get them to open up to each other, the more better we're going to be on the field.
So you mentioned that Coach Bodie does these funny little games. Give us an example of what one of these games are, one of these team building games that Coach Bodie has you play.
So every time we get in the classroom, I remember this one time we played like a speaking game. So everyone had to face the front, but there was a person in the back of the room, and they had to like disguise their voice as like something like a deep voice or chipmunk type of voice, like however you can describe your regular voice. And we just had to guess who it was. And it was the most funniest thing, because the girls just come up with the most randomest voices and noises possible. She'll also put us in groups to come up with different cheers that we do on the field. And whoever has the best cheers wins in that group. And so she kind of makes it competitive, because that's what we are. We're all competitive. And the more fun we have, and the yelling and the screaming and the cheering, it's 10 times better. And especially in the classroom, we kind of get a little noisy. We've kind of gotten told to be quiet a couple times, but it's the best, and it works, and it's been working. So, yeah, that's what she kind of has us do. It's super fun. She does a great job.
CMU softball player Ileana Mendoza with us. Softball's known for the great chants in the dugout. You kind of referenced that. Take us behind the scenes. How does that work in terms of choreographing, organizing chants in the dugout? Whose responsibility is that? How does that work?
It's everybody's responsibility, honestly, because they see all these cheers on TikTok and on social media, and they send it to the group and tell the girls, you need to learn this by the next series. And we end up doing it the next series. And we kind of like do those cheers and like reference them to our cheers and change them to be us. And so then we add like a dance, and it's just crazy over there. And it's just awesome. And everyone wants to cheer and loves to cheer. Everyone comes up with new cheers every time. Like every series we've played, I don't even know how many series from February to now, and there's been new cheers every series, and these girls are just amazing at it. And I'm still trying to catch up to how many cheers we do have and learn how all the cheers and choreography they have, but it's awesome. These girls, they're crazy.
Ileana Mendoza joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Best cheers come up on the bus, or do some of them, the best ones, just come up spur of the moment in the dugout?
It's spur of the moment, definitely. Like we'll have a cheer, and then we'll just keep it going, and then someone just has something else to add to it, and so the girls are like, ooh, that's good. So we just ended up learning it and cheering it, and it's awesome.
Ileana Mendoza with us today. Of course, a member of the CMU softball team, a senior for the Mavericks, hitting 461, and now the work begins to get to the South Central Region Tournament. Ileana, of course, your team will play on Thursday at 3 o'clock over at Bergman. And in that, you'll square off against either Colorado School of Mines or Regis. Just give us your thoughts about getting a chance to play at home. RMAC regular season titles already tucked away, and now trying to win an RMAC tournament championship. Going to face either Regis or Mines coming up on Thursday.
So I think we just got to go in level-headed. I think it really doesn't matter who we play. We're really not worried about anybody. We just have to go in And just do what we've been doing, have the confidence, and just we know that these teams have gotten better since we played them, and we just got to keep a level head and just go in there with all of our energy and all of our confidence, and I think we'll be okay.
Okay, two final questions for you. The teammate, when this is all done, wherever things end up, hopefully winning a national championship, that would be fantastic, but the teammate that you're going to miss the most?
That is tough. I will probably miss everybody. I can't just pick one. That's too much on the spot. But it's either going to be either Hannah or Maya, because the only reason Hannah, she brought me back, and she was like, you have to come back for your last year. And Maya, I've been with that girl since we started. So, and to see her grow and just the grit that she has when she plays is unbelievable. So it's going to be all of them. But if I had to pick, Hannah and Maya, for sure.
Can you believe the season Maya's had hitting the long ball? I mean,
she is crazy, yes. And she just to see how she's come from a freshman to a junior, and she still has one more year, she is going to be unbelievable.
All right, the last question. It's about Coach Bodie. Coaches have little sayings. They have little things that they do. With Chris Hanks, Mesa's baseball coach, it's Skip-isms. Is there Bodie-isms? Are there things that Coach says that little expressions that you guys might have listened an eye roll occasionally or whatever? It's like, okay, here we go again with this. Does she have that kind of thing in her coaching toolkit, or does she not operate with things like that, with little expressions, little certain nuggets of wisdom that she tries to drop on everybody?
Not really. She kind of lets us really do our own thing, and then she'll put us in our place when we need to be. But it's nothing consistent. It's just kind of what we need to work on right then and there, and just pushing us to be great and just keep doing what we're doing. It's more of just keep doing what we're doing and stay humbled and always, like, respect your opponent. And that's kind of what the coaches have kind of pushed on us, is don't underestimate anybody and just know what you can do. And so I think just keeping that and just keeping the intensity of each game has allowed us to do what we do. And so she's right there just, hey, like, keep doing what we're doing. Don't let them get to you. And just kind of calming us down is kind of what she does.
All right, very good. Eliana, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. Best of luck this weekend in the RMAC softball tournament, and best of luck in your future as well. We appreciate the time this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right, Eliana Mendoza, the CMU softball team. So Mercedes doesn't have little Skip-isms. She doesn't have her...
She might, but if you're there every day, you may not realize it's like a coaching thing. It's just something that happens.
Yeah.
It's like practice is at 3. Coach says this thing at 3:10. It's kind of...
Maybe it just becomes part of the
ingrained.
Routine.
It's ingrained. It's part of the routine.
Exactly. All right. Do we have a winner yet for Herd Trivia?
I'm looking. Let me refresh real quick. We had not.
Okay.
Everybody guessed the same year, and they're all wrong. I know that doesn't help the people out there by process of elimination.
So keep in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that is multiple choice. So guess again. Some of you have already guessed in. I'm not going to say what you guessed, but that was wrong. So once again, here's the question. It's a Herd Trivia to win a coffee or beer a week for a month from Cutwater Craft Coffee and Beer House. In what year did Mesa start playing softball? That's a key thing. What year did Mesa,
yeah,
the institution, start playing softball? 1976, 1981, 1979.
And we're having guys text in the same year all over again, but they're still wrong.
So third time's the charm,
yes.
Right?
We're going to get there. Before this segment's over, we're going to get there.
So while we're doing that, and we got Chris Hanks coming up in a couple of minutes, it's time to get into some four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
And hopefully I'm not stealing any of yours.
We'll find out.
I might. So after the Nuggets beat the Lakers last night, LeBron James, this is the stuff that makes people not like LeBron James. That he walked the locker room, did not walk up to any of the Nuggets, did not shake hands, did not, which I get as a competitor, you're 39, you're bitterly disappointed, but you got to show a little more, got to show some class. You're the face of the franchise. You're one of the greatest players of all time. You've talked about how great Nikola Jokic is. How about going over and just, hey, good game, show some sportsmanship. It doesn't kill you to do that. It really doesn't. I get it that you're bitterly disappointed, but that's the stuff that makes people not like him. There's moments like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
It's not classy. It's not classy at all.
Like, as a Nuggets fan, I don't need the handshake. We won.
No, but just how people perceive LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you just, and he doesn't care. I get it. He doesn't care. Just looks classless.
And again, a benefit of the doubt. I do give him a little, because one of the biggest gripes that old-timey players have with the NBA is how everybody's buddy-buddy. It's like, oh, look at those big hugs. We didn't hug anybody after we lost to them in the playoffs. Like, it's a tough needle to thread nowadays. It's
shake hands, but you don't have to hug.
Former players hate him because he's too buddy-buddy, or fans hate him because, you know.
But you got to admit, there's a level of sportsmanship that the needs. I mean, get their pros, and they don't care. But still, there's part of being having class. Mm-hmm. That's being classy. Going over and saying, hey, good series, man. You know, it was, you know, just
does
just
anybody find it weird, though, that it's only two sports that this is really required of? Like, nobody cares if baseball players don't shake hands.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Usually shake hands in your team.
Yeah, but nobody, like, if you don't go over and, you know, if Acuna doesn't go over to show him, be like, hey, man, good series. Like, nobody cares. It's the sport you're in. That's my thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think it does it kill you to have some class.
It's a bad look, but also it's kind of, it's an NBA bad look, I think. It's not just LeBron.
Yeah.
They've created this mess.
But he's also the guy that controls LeBron.
Yeah.
You know.
But hey, Joker didn't chase him down in the tunnel to handshake. Well, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Whoa. Settle down. You know. Settle down, champ. Settle like down.
Michael Malone didn't walk over there. Hey, son. Shake my hand. He should have.
Who's your daddy?
Exactly.
Who's your daddy, by the way? All right, Dan Orlovsky.
Oh.
Because Tom Brady's name still's out there floating around. Remember, Brady said, hey, you know, under the right circumstances, I might come back and play late in the season for somebody that's a contender. And the Raiders, their name has come up. Of course, he's also trying to be part owner of the Raiders as well. Dan Orlovsky said, I don't know if they grow back, but if Brady plays for the Raiders this year, I'll shave my eyebrows. Will we see an eyebrowless Dan Orlovsky at any point in the 2024 season?
No.
I don't think so either. I think Brady's done. I do. I mean, he might throw out the occasional, hey, I might be, you never know if the situation's right.
Mm-hmm. I do like, and this is my Dan Orlovsky down. He is kind of supremely self-aware. He was on Ryan Clark's podcast. He says, I'm way better at TV than I was at actually playing. I'm better at telling you what's happening than actually doing it, unquestionably. I always loved math as a kid. I was always a numbers person. I think one of the things that I guess really enjoy is I understand football in a math capacity. That's pretty self-aware. There's a lot of guys that go out there and give their analysis. And I do like he's say, you know, he doesn't go hard in on a guy because he knows pretty much everybody out there is better than he was.
So he's taking a high road of like, I should probably be careful what I say.
I do. He does say some dumb things that annoy me.
He does.
But he is a good sport, and I feel like he's just kind of just seems like a good dude. So he doesn't annoy me nearly as much as some of the other people who I don't like.
Way better analyst than Gronk.
Oh yeah, Gronk's not even an analyst. That's just Gronk's just kind of there.
He just kind of shows up and does some shticky thing. Mm. And yeah.
Speaking of analysts, being elevated from the fourth level, the D crew, to the NFL today.
Oh yeah,
is Matt Ryan. Now, we kind of talked about this, about the Super Bowl. The ideal crew we'd like to see, J.J. Watt, Matt Ryan, Nate Burleson, along with whichever Gumbel brother it is. I can't remember right now. So I think it's Bryant? No.
It's Greg.
The other one. Greg. Same thing. 50-50 shot. No. It's also...
They're not the same. They're almost, just brothers. They're not the same.
It's almost May. And so we're talking the eight studio shows for the NFL. But the interchangeable blonde/red-haired quarterbacks, Phil Simms, Boomer Esiason, both gone from the NFL today. And it'll be Bill Cowher, J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson, and Matt Ryan joining Greg Gumbel on the NFL.
How long
today?
Before Greg's gone? How long before Cowher's gone?
I know, it's not Greg Gumbel, rather. It's James Brown.
James Brown, yeah. It's not Greg. Yeah, Greg Gumbel used to call games.
Yeah, that's the E-meat.
And used to studio host. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So that's okay. I screwed that one up.
James Brown.
That is not a Gumball brother. That's way off.
No.
So.
But how before they move on from James Brown, too?
A while, I think. Because I think he might be refreshed with the younger.
I don't know what his contract is, where that stands. But it sounds like CBS is definitely, we're retooling here, going younger.
Yeah, but I don't know who they put in that spot. I don't know if they have anybody in the wings.
Boomer's got his fan gig. He's got his WFAN show.
Yeah, he signed a contract extension with a company that's gone through bankruptcy twice in the last 14 months. So, good luck.
We have a connection with? Not our company.
Right.
But I'm a network that we carry, and I will just leave it at that.
I wasn't saying anything. I was just putting the news out there.
Let's just hope things keep.
Yep. Exactly.
Keep plugging along for us.
Because we only got 3 hours. We can't do 24.
All right. So you're good. We're done. Okay. So it's time for This Day in Sports History.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, a trade that maybe changed the direction of two franchises. On this day, 1956, the St. Louis Hawks trade Bill Russell, who they'd picked with the second pick in the draft, to Boston for Ed McCauley and Cliff Hagan, who was in the military and yet to play for the Celtics. 13 years, averaged 15 points per game, 22 and a half rebounds, won the title 11 times, including 8 in a row. And McCauley, who I went to his basketball camp, and so did Tad Boyle when we were both in high school.
Together? You went to the same exact camp or the same camp different years?
We went to the same camp.
Look at that.
Yeah, we were there at the same time. And, you know, McCauley and Hagan wound up being Hall of Famers. I mean, so it wasn't like it was absolutely terrible for the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And they would make the playoffs in all but one season until 73. And in 58, they even beat Bill Russell and the Celtics in the finals. But then again, they won 11 championships in Boston. Also on this day, 1993, superstar tennis player Monica Seles gets stabbed by an obsessed fan of Steffi Graf, who attacks her with a kitchen knife. Seles would be okay physically. However, it took years for her to recover from it mentally. That shocking thing. And also on this day, 1998, we'll always have this vision. Miami meets the Pacers in the postseason for the second straight year. And for the second straight year, a brawl breaks out. Knicks beat the Heat in game 4 of the series, 90-85. But this is the one, remember, we have Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, JVG on the leg.
Grabbing Alonzo Mourning's leg. So he tries to keep Larry Johnson and Mourning apart. He's just dragging him along like your 3-year old grabbing your leg, just dragging him along. All right,
I have one more this day in sports history.
Okay.
Today was the final game of Lou Gehrig's career.
Oh.
April 30th, 1939.
Considered himself the luckiest
man in the face of the earth or planet. Whatever he said.
His name was Earth. 9:45. All right, so do we get a winner yet?
Yes, we did.
Okay, here we go. That's good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Jeremiah correctly identifying 1979, right?
Six.
76, you're right. Sorry, my bad.
76.
76 is the right answer. I got the vision confused in my head.
That's okay.
So 1976.
All right, so congratulations to Jeremiah. Gets the coffee or beer a week for a month from Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House, which, of course, proudly brings you Mav Day. So right now, let's do Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, brought to you by Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar. They are, of course, the place you go for the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, you get it for half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. Here's the question today. It's a Nuggets question. Which current Denver Nugget had a Native American great-grandfather that stood 7 feet tall? Was it Reggie Jackson? Was it Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown? Which current Denver Nugget had a Native American great-grandfather that stood 7 feet tall? Reggie Jackson, Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown are your players you can guess from. All right, so text your answer in. Once again, text only, 970-242-1340. Maverick skipper Chris Hanks joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team. Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on The Team.
And with us right now, the skipper of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, Chris Hanks. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim.
Have you got your morning chess in?
Yeah, I did, actually. I did my early morning puzzles. I train every morning.
That's training, mental training. It's every bit as important as physical training, I believe.
Yeah, I do four puzzles. You do four puzzles, and you either get them right, you got to solve them. You know, anyway, I won't get into it, but it's good training.
Well, your ball club takes 3 out of 4 against Highlands, and of course the nice win, and that I'm glad the weather, you know, even though there was a weather delay, at least it cooperated enough for you to do the fireworks on Friday night over at Sam Saplesio Field. But you get 3 out of 4 as you get ready to wrap up the regular season with Adams State. But kind of take us through this last weekend with that series with the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, you know, we were really concerned. You know, the game we lost, game two, the Martinez kid there, lefty, he gave us fits last year. He gives everybody fits, and he almost beat us last year down in Highlands. We had to bring in Durbano to close out the game with runners on second and third to, I think, hold on to a one-run lead and that. So we knew he was dangerous. We just made, you know, all those errors. I think it was in the third inning. You know, we didn't give up an earned run. We lost 3-1, and I guess that's baseball, but that was a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, really the last 2 weeks we've just played in miserable conditions until Sunday this week. Sunday was very nice. So we're ready to play in some good baseball weather. I hope that happens here soon.
Yeah, let's hope that happens this weekend when you head to Alamosa to take on Adams State. But to, you know, kind of wrap it up with that victory on Sunday, 11-0 over Highlands. Jordan Pace got the start. It was his second start of the season. Had the 5 shutout innings, gave up just 3 hits and struck out 4 to get his first win. He was really good for you in that Sunday finale against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, he really was. Pacer, you know, he throws a lot of strikes. And when he pitches on the edges, he was really tough. You know, he pitched the opening game of the junior college tournament last year, I think, for Salt Lake against Wabash, that great hitting team. And he held them down, I think, for 7 innings. You know, so he has that ability, and, you know, big games don't bother him. So he could be a bright spot for us on the mound as we finish this year.
Chris Hanks, coach of the CMU baseball team, with us. And, Chris, you look at the standings right now in the RMAC heading to the final weekend. You're 22-6 in conference, ranked 11th in the nation, 32-14 overall. Yeah, Regis at 18-10, and then Colorado School of Mines 17-11, tied with the team you're going to in Adams State at 17-11. So, you know, in regard to nailing down the RMAC championship, the regular season, hosting the RMAC tournament, looks like obviously you guys are in a great spot heading down to Alamosa to finish things off this weekend.
Yeah, well, we've clinched at least a share of the conference championship, which puts the tournament here. We do know that. We'll play here. The tournament will be here next Wednesday. We got to win one game to clinch it outright, or we just lose one game and we clinch it as well. So we're most concerned, you know, I guess, about a tough Adams team who's had a very good year and who has a lot of good players and older veterans, you know, a team that a lot of them have been together for a few years, and now they're seniors, and they're having a good year, and they're playing at home. So, you know, it'll be a good test for us. And they're the team that's leading the conference in hitting this year.
Yeah, right now they're hitting .347 on the season. And, you know, they've got some bats that have certainly delivered this year with Aiden Tischauer. He's had a great season hitting .411 for them. He's got 29 RBIs. Mike Bathhauser's got like 61 ribbies to lead them. His brother Matt's got, I believe, 47 RBIs. So it is a very potent lineup you face when you take on the Grizzlies this weekend.
Yeah, those Bathhauer brothers have been there since their freshman year. You know, we've always said, even since they were freshmen, those are two kids we'd love to have in our program. Mike's probably the bigger threat of the two overall. He's playing, he played third his whole career up until this year. I think he's playing some short, and those kids are dangerous. And so certainly a weekend on the road where, you know, it's in no shape or form a gimme.
And, of course, this weekend wraps up the regular season. As you mentioned, you already clinched a share of the RMAC title, a chance to win it outright this weekend. But we do know the RMAC tournament will be at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex starting on Wednesday for the first day of the RMAC tournament. Hey, Chris, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and good luck down at Alamosa taking on Adams State. And, of course, we're excited to bring folks coverage of the RMAC tournament starting next Wednesday. Always appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Chris Hanks, coach of the Maverick baseball team, the number 11 team in the nation after they took 3 out of 4 against the Highlands this past weekend. All right. You can text or call the show 970-242-1340. Do we have a winner yet for Wrigley Field Cut-up Sports Trivia?
We do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, the not actually blocked Ruben was first in the door, correctly identifying Aaron Gordon.
Yes, his great-grandfather was an Osage Indian. He was 7 feet tall.
Huge.
Big man, no doubt about
that.
Can't
teach that.
You cannot. All right, we'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 7.